Hello, angry, proofread aloud, here we go. The hacking problem. I ran a crappy encounter, but it wasn't my fault. Mostly. Were there things I could have done to make it less shit? Of course. But the problem was really baked into the system's rules. Mostly. Were there elements I could have used to make it less shit? Of course. But the problem was really baked into the fabric of role-playing gaming. And that got me thinking. I want to tell you about my crappy encounter and how it helped me recognize something I'm calling the hacking problem. Mostly. The truth is, I didn't need help recognizing the hacking problem. It's something I've always been vaguely aware of. It's something you're aware of, too. I almost guarantee it. My crappy encounter and the thinking I did after helped me define the hacking problem and analyze the different ways role-playing games have failed to deal with it. Now, the hacking problem ain't about hacking systems. Rather, it's about hacking systems. What I mean is that it's not about changing the rules of the game. It's about characters in the game accessing computer systems without proper authorization. It's about computer hacking in games. But if this were just about computer hacking in games, I wouldn't waste my time talking about it. Because fantasy gaming is the only gaming worth talking about. I don't run games with computers very often, and I never write about them. But the hacking problem also shows up in other in-game activities like crafting and research. It's also actually hidden underneath most social encounters. It should also be part of locking and lockpicking. That should be lockpicking. Lockpocking. I wrote lockpocking. What's it gonna be? Lockpocking. Oh, there was a blast from the past. Hot Pockets commercial. That's the topical stuff you tune in for. Is the Hot Pocket commercial references from the 90s. Where the hell was I? Am I reading an article? What am I doing? Okay. But the hacking problem also shows up in other in-game activities like crafting and research. It's also actually hidden underneath most social encounters. It should also be a part of lockpicking and disarming too, but it isn't because game designers have implemented clumsy, crappy fixes to work around the hacking problem. Now, some of you have already heard some of this speech, or pontification, or rant, or whatever. That's because you're part of the secret cabal of high-tier supporters who know about my super-secret role-playing game engine in development, and you've heard me screaming and banging my head against my desk over it. Because now that I know it exists and why it exists, I'm going to have to solve the hacking problem. With great power comes great responsibility and all that shit. This discussion here, though, is just a more general discussion about the problem itself and why it's been so hard to spot and solve. It also corrects something I said in one of my oldest articles ever. Context first. I'm running this modern world conspiracy and paranormal investigation game for my home group right now. It ain't really a campaign, it's filler while our main campaign is closed for renovations. The game's basically the X-Files, but the investigators work for a private research institute instead of a federal agency. They do the same crap Skulder and Mully did, though. So far, they've dealt with a satanic cult's Wendigo, they've dealt with psychics, they've got a psychic on their team, even. They've recovered supposed debris from a supposed UFO crash site before DARPA agents could send it to Warehouse 51, and now they're dealing with an outbreak of Nidarian... Whoa, right. I totally forgot to expect that in there. And now they're dealing with an outbreak of Nidarian influenza that might have been engineered by Schmonsanto or Pfizer with a Y or some other totally pretend biotechnology firm while a rogue CDC agent runs interference. I misspelled Schmonsanto. And that's Nidarian, as in the genera of the of creatures that includes jellyfish, which Nidara Medusae or something, whatever. Doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. It's not important. What's important is during a mission, during a mission, the investigators had to make contact with a subject. All they had was a name, a few secondary contacts he'd made, and the fact that he was staying at a certain hotel. One of the investigators is a former espionage agent with a background in computer intelligence. In other words, he's a hacker. He wanted to access the hotel's computer system and see if he could find the subject's room number and maybe some contact information. Now, he could have done the whole social engineering thing, or he could have had the party make a distraction so he could access the front desk computer, but he had a fancy computer and a bunch of high-tech gadgets, and he wanted to try remote penetration first through the hotel's Wi-Fi network. That's a long shot, but pretty safe to fail at, so it's a good first move. Of course, when I say he could have done social engineering or direct access, but he chose to attempt the remote penetration first, what I mean is that I laid out the options and he picked one. Because the player isn't a hacker. He doesn't know this shit. Moreover, this is a stopgap game and we're playing an unfamiliar system and I really didn't want to teach him all the rules for the whole hacking thing. Not that the system has extensive rules for hacking anyway. It's a modern-day, realistic game, not cyberpunk. Jakey Mnemonic ain't jacking into the Matrix, flying through the grid, slicing ice, and smashing through the walls of the Protovision data fortress. The point is, I was laying out the options and he was making the best choices he could given the context. That's important. Remember that. Anyway, Darius, the investigator, he discovers the hotel has both a guest Wi-Fi network and a staff Wi-Fi network. He also discovers a couple of printers in the hotel's business centers that likely have credentials saved for both networks. Better still, no one has updated the firmware in these things or changed the default security settings, so once he finds them on the guest network, he can get into one of the printer's portals using default credentials. That gives him a bunch of identifying information for the printer and other vital information. He then disconnects the printer from the guest network and connects it to the staff network. Because he's got a good Wi-Fi scanner and he's watching for it, he can capture the handshake between the printer and the network. With that information and the information from the printer and the login credentials, he's able to then spoof the printer and connect to the staff Wi-Fi network himself. Basically, his computer's pretending to be the printer. See? Once on the network, he can see the staff computers because no one has ever disabled their discoverability and glean some information about them. He's able to use an exploit in the operating system's RDP protocols that were never patched due to inconsistent updates and poorly configured security settings to get remote access to the front desk computer. Then he can access the hotel's PMS system, search for his subject's name, and get his contact information and his room number. It was just that easy. Now, look, I decided it wouldn't be that hard. I purposely set this in a non-chain hotel with slightly older equipment and poor IT protocols, precisely because I knew the group had a hacker who'd want to try this shit. But also, you'd be absolutely terrified if you knew how many commercial establishments have every one of the flaws he exploited in my little encounter. Hey, VPN companies, how about throwing me one of those sponsorships you fling at every other content creator ever? There is also a sprinkling of bullshit in there. Not a lot. I like to keep things plausible, and it helps that the game's not set in 2025, but I refuse to go full-on Hollywood hacking. But Darius has state-of-the-art technology from the Institute, some of it built on chip architecture, not of this earth, and he rolled really well, so I had to give him the win. It was a long shot, but he gambled and won. As cool as all that shit sounds, my player isn't a hacker, and there was some reality bending going on. The system's hacking rules are somewhat limited, and I didn't want to fully engage with them anyway. So, at the table, all of this amounted to me offering him choices and possibilities like, you could start by scanning the guest network and looking for vulnerable devices there that might let you pivot to the staff network, and him saying, I'll try that, and a lot of hardware security systems and computer science hacking tests with one-step penalties and two-step bonuses and shit like that. Now, behind the scenes, the system, right. We're using the alternative science fiction role-playing game rule set published in 1998 by TSR Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Wizards of the Coast Inc., and the Dark Matter campaign setting, which I've time-warped to the year 2015. Behind the scenes, the system has this fairly standard progress tracker. You know the kind. The player has to accumulate a certain number of progress points to complete a task, and each attempt chews up time or resources, and too many failures or a single critical failure can cause disaster. Alternity's core mechanic also has degrees of success, so a single roll can net you 1, 2, or 3 progress points. In short, it's a standard skill challenge setup. You didn't think Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition invented skill challenges, did you? You didn't think Blades in the Dark invented progress trackers. All Blades in the Dark did was make them pie-shaped. As such systems go, Alternity actually did the skill challenge thing, it called them complex skill checks, pretty well. But I ain't doing an analysis or a critique of the whole skill challenge thing or suggesting there might be an angry secret sauce way to make actual good skill challenge systems. I'm talking specifically about the hacking problem, which, while tangentially related, doesn't have to involve skill challenges. Honestly, the big problem is that skill challenges are supposed to fix the hacking problem, but just enable it more. Anyway, I want to note before I continue that this didn't ruin my game session. The players had fun. The hacking encounter didn't chew up more than a few minutes of table time. The hacker hacked, everyone else watched over his shoulder, and everyone remained engaged for the short duration of the encounter. My narration definitely helped. I even used this trick of getting slightly confusingly jargony to keep the engagement up. Incidentally, a friend of mine has been trying to convince me I should do a series on narration tricks I use to improve my game that you won't read anywhere else, like being purposely confusingly jargony. Does anyone want some articles about stupid narration tricks no one has ever shared? Let me know. Now, I do admit there was a tiny thing I could have done to spread the involvement around. I tried to, actually, but the players didn't bite, and the encounter was over so quick that it didn't matter enough to push it. Actually, there's a whole side discussion about things I could have done to fix the hacking problem and why they don't fucking matter or count. I'll probably have that discussion in the near future because it'll allow me to scream and rant at some of my most loyal, generous, and engaged supporters, but I'm losing my laser-like focus on the plot here. Let me make my actual point and move on. The hacking encounter was not a bad stretch of gameplay. It didn't ruin the session, it didn't chew up more playtime than it deserved, and I didn't lose the players. From the other side of the screen, it was a perfectly fine stretch of gameplay. It was a workhorse encounter. It kept everyone interested, it did its job, and then it plodded away. There was a small missed opportunity that only I noticed, and that only pisses me off because I'm me, and anything less than perfection is failure. The hacking problem isn't a system-breaking disaster. It's not a giant-ass problem. It's the sort of thing that's only noticeable if it happens a lot. And beyond that, it's just a missed opportunity to do better. It's midweek dinner. It's baked chicken breast with steamed broccoli over rice. It's tacos made with one of those Ortega taco night kits and iceberg lettuce. It's satisfying, even tasty, and it's totally nutritious. But if you do it too often, it gets depressing and it's eating up the opportunity to do better. So let's keep that perspective in mind as I go on. The hacking problem. What actually is it? on the surface, it's just a stretch of gameplay in which the player rolls the same check over and over, trying to make something happen. But that's just a surface-level explanation, and until you dig deeper, it lends itself to bland, crappy solutions. So let's dig deeper. The hacking problem arises when a character must carry out a protracted task using specialized knowledge or training that falls under the umbrella of a very small number of skills, usually just one skill. Let's unpack that. A protracted task is one that requires minutes, hours, or even days of effort on the character's part. It ain't something someone just does instantaneously. If you're just hacking your way past a single login screen, fine. But a full-on penetration that involves accessing a system, bypassing security, locating key data, getting control of devices, and maybe even some track-covering cleanup, that ain't the sort of thing you do with 6 seconds of keyboard poking. Likewise, first aid after an injury is pretty quick, but providing proper medical treatment for injuries is more involved. Crafting is always protracted. You don't just throw your ingredients on a crafting table and bang them with a crafting hammer. Brewing a potion or making a sword takes a few hours or days. The whole specialized knowledge thing refers to the idea that the player, not the character, the player, has no mental model or frame of reference for the task. My player isn't a hacker. He doesn't know how hackers hack. They type and stuff happens. Hell, I'm not a hacker either, but I'm sure as hell on a watch list now thanks to my game prep internet research. I have a player at my table who isn't a doctor, but she plays one in my game, and she kept a critical patient stable for several hours while the paramedics fought through a blizzard. To my knowledge, none of my players are wizards or alchemists, but they conduct magical rituals and brew potions all the time in the game. The point is, their characters are experts in things they have literally zero understanding of, and so they have no basis from which to form plans, choose approaches, or experiment with alternatives. The last part about the limited skill list is pretty easy to understand, and it often goes hand in glove with the whole esoteric knowledge thing. Crafting uses the craft skill, hacking uses the hack skill, and medicine uses the treatment skill. It's important to note that even if shit was broken down into very specific sub-skills, it'd still land firmly in the hacking problem. I could split medicine into diagnostics, pharmacology, physical therapy, surgery, and 1,000 other skills, but the use of those skills would still be dictated by the task at hand. It would still just be, first, use your diagnostic skill to determine the problem. Now use pharmacology to come up with a drug panel for problem management, and so on. And even if the task didn't dictate the skill, as in, do you want to take the pharmacological approach or attempt a surgical intervention, you'd run smack into the problem of the player and the game master and the adventure writer all lacking the knowledge to play, run, and design such an encounter. So you have an in-game task that intuitively demands and mechanically benefits from multiple action checks to resolve, but one that just amounts to rolling the same check over and over because the check is either defined by the task or because the player lacks the knowledge necessary to choose different approaches, or usually both. That's the hacking problem. And yes, I know there's a big assumption in there that I commented on years ago and provided an easy solution for. I'll get to that. It's not a good solution. It's just the least crap solution available, except it's not. The thing is that the hacking problem is way more insidious than you think it is. There are lots of parts of lots of role-playing games infected with the hacking problem. Some are obvious, like actual hacking. Others are asymptomatic. Others still are hiding under crappy Band-Aids. And that should be Band-Aid brand adhesive bandages. With a TM. Adhesive bandage strips. I actually find it funny to properly follow the whole... Huh. I can't remember how to do TM. There we go. Okay. Take, for example, social encounters. In the end, a protracted social encounter, one that isn't just a one-and-done role, usually amounts to the players and the Game Master saying a lot of stuff, but the actual gameplay is just rolling the system's equivalent of interact over and over until the subject either gives in or gets pissed off and attacks. But social interaction doesn't feel like the hacking problem because players and Game Masters have a mental model for how conversations work and so can come up with infinite approaches just by playing out the conversation as a conversation. The game mechanics under the hood are still just keep rolling interact until you succeed or fail. Have you ever heard anyone comment that melee combat can get pretty boring and even playing a warlock is just about flinging Eldritch Blast over and over? Well, what is melee combat but rolling the same check over and over to make progress toward eventual success without any real framework for designing approaches with any more detail than I try to kill the orc with my sword? It just doesn't seem like the hacking problem because there are so many other things going on in combat. By rights, picking locks and disabling traps... Why did I write tracks instead of traps? By rights, picking locks and disabling traps should also be the hacking problem. The reason they aren't is that the designers made them into single-role resolutions. They did that because the hacking problem, but I'd argue that's a crappy solution. Consider what you have to do to run one of those pick the lock while others hold off the monsters or disable the trap before the spite ceiling crushes you all scenes. I have to say, this is a special lock that you can't pick just once. That's stupid. That's really how lock picking and trap disabling should always work. Which brings me to one of the most common solutions to the hacking problem. The one I myself sold y'all 15 years ago. Years ago, I told y'all that you should never use multiple die rolls to resolve something when one roll would do. I said that because the hacking problem. A stretch of gameplay wherein a player rolls a single check over and over multiple times to accumulate enough progress to succeed sucks. But honestly, it doesn't suck enough to make the single roll approach. It doesn't suck enough to make it worse than a single roll resolution. Okay. But honestly, it doesn't suck enough to make that approach worse. Yeah, let's make it that approach. Sorry, this sentence needs work. Okay, a stretch of gameplay wherein the player rolls a single check over and over multiple times to accumulate enough progress to succeed sucks, but honestly, it doesn't suck enough to make that approach worse than a single roll resolution. There are actually some very good reasons to use multiple checks to resolve protracted tasks, even if the whole thing is just down to accumulating progress toward success. To save myself some typing or speaking, I guess, since I'm recording this, I'ma call this the progressive check approach. That'll distinguish it from the single role approach to task management. Cool? Cool. First, progressive checks make intuitive sense. If a task takes minutes, hours, or days of efforts, you shouldn't resolve it the same way you resolve a punch to the throat. That's why I had to work so hard to convince game masters not to use progressive checks. They're so natural. By itself, that ain't a great reason to use progressive checks, but it's a starting point. You see, second, progressive checks also help you maintain engagement, pacing, and synchronicity. Often, when a character gets wrapped up in a long-term task, the other characters use that time to do other things. Progressive checks give you a reason to check in with the character committed to the progressive task. You don't have to say, "And you're still committed to your task, we'll resolve it when enough time has passed. Now, let me play with everyone else." When I said engagement, you thought I was going to mention the opposite issue, didn't you? But no, it's usually the diligent long-term tasker that gets the short end of the engagement stick once you're a good enough game master to pull off that everyone doing everything all at once bullshit. And that needs to be a link, and we're going to make it a link now. To my everyone doing everything all at once. Searching. Everyone doing everything all at once. Add link. Perfect. Notice, too, that progressive checks let you keep everyone's clock in sync when you're doing that. If each progressive check represents 10 minutes of effort, or 1 hour, or one workday, you know precisely how much time the other characters need to fill or pass on between checks. In short, the progressive check anchors your action clock. This shit's especially important when it comes to failed tasks. Imagine the party's in town. The wizard spends 3 days brewing an important potion while the rest of the players interact, network, train, run down leads, maintain gear, go shopping, sell treasure, carouse, or whatever. If the wizard gets one single chance at the end of those 3 days to roll a success, that's a lot of potential gameplay the wizard player sacrificed for one sucky roll. Let's say for one sucky roll if it fails, to make it clear, because that's what I'm talking about there. The cost of failing on something that you had to basically sit out the game three game days for just to get that one roll, and then that roll fails. It sucks. Which brings up something else the single roll can't easily model. How do you handle commitment to and abandonment of tasks in a single role setup? See, in the single role approach, there's this weird thing where the character has to commit so many minutes or hours or days to a task to earn the chance to roll a check. Abandoning the task means any opportunities given up before abandonment got the player nothing. Moreover, when the opportunity to abandon the task arises, for whatever reason, good or bad, the player doesn't have a good way to make that choice. Imagine real-life me is working on a project. I've spent 3 days, and I've made no progress. It's just going shitty. Then along comes my friend with an opportunity. If I abandon my current project, I can get a payoff. Maybe it's not as good, but it's something, and if the project is already stuck and I'm frustrated, it might be good to cut my losses and pick the sure thing. Meanwhile, though, if the project was going really well and I think I might be on the verge of a breakthrough with just one or two more days of work, that changes the math, doesn't it? Progressive checks also make it easier to pause tasks that can be paused, because some can. You can't put picking a lock on hold, and putting medical treatment on hold can be dangerous, but a crafting project is the sort of thing you can set aside and come back to. In a single role setup, the game master now has to track how close the character was to earning the role to pause a tab, before pausing the task. Right, before in a progressive check setup, the game master is already tracking progress, so there's nothing extra to track to allow a task to go on hold. A progressive check setup lets players see progress in return for their time and resource investments as they go. That's great because players have to see progress when they're playing games, but it also lets the players make reasonable choices about continuing to invest in the task as the situation changes or if the payoff isn't coming. That brings me around to the best reason to use progressive checks. When you start a protracted task, you might have an estimate about how much time and how many resources the task will probably take, but you can't be precisely sure exactly how much it's going to take to get the task done. That's as it should be. You shouldn't know precisely how long it'll take to search a room or pick a lock. You shouldn't know for absolute certain that you won't run out of supplies in the middle of your crafting project and have to buy more if something goes wrong. Progressive checks work even in systems with binary action resolution. In fact, the variable cost in time and resources becomes the big difference between something you can do immediately and something that takes a few minutes or hours or days. Thus, the single role approach doesn't really solve the hacking problem. It's not even a Band-Aid brand adhesive bandage strip solution. It's avoiding the problem of filling a bathtub by drowning your baby, or however the phrase goes. To be totally honest, the reasons here are why I use progressive checks, even when they lead to the hacking problem. I'd rather have the hacking problem than throw out progressive checks. The hacking problem isn't that bad, especially given how often it comes up, and especially because I'm aware of it and I keep it under control. My terrible hacking encounter was only terrible to me. My players had a perfectly fine time with it. It would have been way less satisfying if I'd just handled it with one die roll. Now, I know there are lots of very obvious seeming solutions to the hacking problem, and I know lots of you are going to want to comment them below. Go ahead, I won't yell at you. Hell, I want you to do it. It'll help others work around the hacking problem the way I do. But don't fool yourself into thinking your solutions aren't crap too. They are, I promise. Crap and kludge are the only solutions. I don't want to analyze every bad solution to the hacking problem, but I will comment on a few. The most common solution is the minigame solution. Lots of cyberpunk games go this route for computer hacking. Alternity does too, it's just kind of shitty at it. Basically, the minigame solution means building a dedicated subsystem to resolve a specific, protracted task. There are specialized rules, equipment, abilities, actions, and options. The player and the game master then use those special rules and systems to play out a little minigame to resolve the task. Obviously, that makes sense for some games and some tasks. Hacking the virtual internet has been the cornerstone of cyberpunk since Gibson invented the genre. But as a bigger picture solution to the problem of protracted esoteric task resolution, it just doesn't work. Do you really want your players to have to learn a bunch of minigames to play their character? Most players won't even learn the general rules of the game. For that matter, how many minigames do you want to learn how to run? Are things like lockpicking and crafting and magical ritualing so important that they deserve a 20-minute minigame with specialized rules? Do they come up often enough that you won't have to look up the rules every time they do come up just to remember how they work? And what about the shit design that designers didn't make a minigame for? What if I want to run an encounter about cooking a meal to impress a visiting dignitary? Or what if one of my players with the cooking skill just decides that's a good way to impress a dignitary? Do I have to invent a cooking minigame on the fly? Then there are the solutions that involve structuring encounters or running games the right way. Tell adventure designers not to build hacking tasks that don't include other skills and solutions. Tell game masters they always have to cut protracted tasks in with other activities for pacing reasons. I have a very long, very angry rant about the toxic to the point of damaged mindset behind those suggestions, but I'll save it for another day. I don't believe in solving system-level issues by forcing contrivance on adventure designers and game masters. If something is broken on the system level, fix it there. If you have a hacking skill in your game, or a crafting skill, or a lockpicking skill, using that skill should be interesting and engaging in and of itself. I shouldn't need to flood a room to make lockpicking fun. In the end, though, while those solutions might reduce the impact of the hacking problem, not one of them gets to the real core issue. The real issue behind the hacking problem isn't about dice or resolution or engagement. It's actually about the problem of letting players play characters who are experts in things the players aren't, and about game masters running games without the expertise the characters have. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Say it with me now. Rolling dice isn't gameplay. Gameplay is making choices that affect the outcome of the game. If you ain't making choices that change the game, you ain't playing a game. When Darius's player chose the remote hacking approach, he was done making strategic choices. That was it. He'd picked his gambit, and everything else was just a long exercise in seeing how it turned out and what it cost him. The only choice he made as we played out the die rolls was to either keep hacking or give up, and without a change in the situation, there was no reason not to keep going. That's the hacking problem. It's that choosing to keep going or give up just isn't a very exciting gameplay decision to make in general. In certain specific situations, it can be exciting, but even when it is, it isn't that exciting. I'm sure it's sure not as exciting as changing your approach as the situation evolves or experimenting with different solutions until you find the one that works. If you're hacking and you trigger a trace, the decision to keep going while that trace is running is very tense, but it's still just deciding how much to gamble before your risk tolerance is maxed out. But if you're hacking and you don't trigger a trace, you're just rolling the next check. Just like if you're crafting your downtime and you don't have a crappy run of luck that chews up your expensive supplies. Incidentally, this is why social interactions don't feel like the hacking problem, even though mechanically they're identical. At least they're identical the way most game masters run them. Playing out the conversation, deciding every moment what you say next, provides a possibility space that you might never realize you're just making the same mechanical die roll over and over again. Of course, good game masters adjust their resolution to the situation. If you say the right thing, you get a bonus on your next interact check. Say something offensive, you might fail automatically, or you might find yourself saddled with a penalty for the rest of the conversation. Of course, if you apologize and make it right, that might erase the penalty. That shit works not because of the rules, but because game masters and players know how conversations work. The game master can modify each individual check because he knows how people and talking and shit all work. What's the equivalent when a player who isn't a hacker is playing a hacking game run by a game master who also isn't a hacker? Think about this. If two hacking experts played a hacking encounter as a game master and player, it'd play out like a social interaction run by a great game master. The game master would modify every check based on the player's specific action declarations, and the player would adjust his strategies and approaches based on the game master's descriptions and the outcomes of his actions. And that there is the real hacking problem. How can a role-playing game let two non-experts simulate a task that requires expertise in a way that's strategic, exciting, and engaging? How can a role-playing game let two non-experts simulate any such task they can imagine on the fly? And how can it do so without adding so much abstraction that tasks themselves don't feel like anything other than abstractions? How can you solve the real hacking problem without introducing the burning wheel problem? Is it even possible? And this is where the discussion ends. At least that's where it ends for now. Because really, there's not an obvious way to let a non-hacker run a hacking game that feels like hacking for a non-hacker. Not without mini-games or abstraction. At least, there isn't one yet. I do believe there is a solution out there. I think part of it involves a better toolset for constructing complex, protracted tasks, basically a better approach to skill challenges, but I also think it might require a completely different way of thinking about action resolution, like at the deepest core of the core mechanic. Whether you could sit it over something like Dungeons and Dragons is a whole other issue, and that's not even discussing other, more specialized, more abstract, and more indie role-playing games that actually slap extra kludges and bandages over the hacking problem without approaching the real hacking problem. I'm not going to say anything about any specific heist games with that montage bullshit and the "we'll just pretend you prepared in advance," which is a perfect example of a kludged abstraction hiding the hacking problem ineffectively. But then again, that's a genre convention of the shitty heist genre, so sorry. Back to the proofread aloud. Meanwhile, though, I do suggest that you all take my lead and lighten up a bit about the hacking problem. I know some of you all have rejected the idea of progressive checks, either independently or because you read my earliest work and haven't looked back, even though I have several times offered contrary advice on the subject. By all means, be aware of the hacking problem and don't let it get out of control, but also don't sink into contrivance or abstraction or minigames or the single role approach to avoid the hell out of it. I'll probably have a lot more to say about this in the future. I am absolutely, definitely working on some things of both the firm advice and rule hack variety to build out and share in the coming weeks and months. So I guess, stay tuned.